بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers in Islam, my dear fathers, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to our third talk in our series together, titled Fitting Faith into Our Busy Lives. Fitting faith into our busy lives. And from the outset, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our sitting together a sitting that has not happened except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people that hear a good word and follows it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our gathering one that is surrounded by his angels and a gathering that is filled with contentment and a gathering that is covered by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a gathering that inshaAllah is forgiven upon our departure as well as a gathering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to his angels. Ameen. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Upon we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this dua. Ameen. Also from the outset, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, I would like to extend a heartfelt gratitude to Masjid Zainab and its trustees for their warm invite, for honoring me with this particular opportunity, for their hospitality and for choosing to be a means of this blessed gathering of ours. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all their efforts. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their efforts. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this masjid or to continue making this masjid a shining emblem and light for the people of Sri Lanka. Ameen. 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 Ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear brothers and fathers, our topic for this evening as cited is fitting faith into a busy life. And whilst this topic is not a long one, nor a difficult one to understand, it is nonetheless an important one to discuss. And I'm pretty sure that many of the points that we will share with each other today are points that we know, but might have forgotten, because alhamdulillah, one of the things that I have seen, walillahi alhamd, in your wonderful country, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed it with amazing ulama and students of knowledge. By Allah, you are all fortunate, mashallah. There's no lack of these people who Allah has blessed to be inheritors of the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your country is blessed with an abundance of these wonderful people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them and us all in his obedience and continue to use them in his service and continue to make them be of service to the Ummah of Sri Lanka for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I see ulama of this caliber and the many talabat al-ilm and students of knowledge that you have, I do not doubt that what I am to share with you all today is something that they have told you already. And that what I will be doing today is only sharing with you a reminder. And in reminding one another, there's goodness for the believers, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to remind one another and revise our lessons together. For indeed in this revision and the reminding of one another is benefit for the believers. There is benefit in it for the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Ameen. Thus, before I dive into the topic, I want to remind myself first and foremost, and each and every one in attendance, to another piece of advice which is pertinent, which is relevant, and which is entirely conducive given the days that we are experiencing right now. For these days, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, are considered the best days in the year of a believer. Just like the day of Jumu'ah is considered the best day in the week of a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah the best days in the year of a believer. And these are the days that we are experiencing right now. We are witnessing right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is sahih, that there are no other days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those good deeds done in these 10 days. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Imagine, your salah in these days are better than the salah done outside of these days. Not to say that salah is less in terms of its elegance and status and rank outside of these 10 days. No, my dear brothers and fathers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an extra special reward for those who act during these 10 days. Your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these 10 days has been given a special precedence, that remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of these 10 days does not have. All your acts of worship have been raised in degrees during these 10 days. Thus, I remind myself first and foremost, and everyone in attendance, be diligent with regards to these 10 days. There's already a day or two that has passed, right? That has passed. Thus, let us not waste the remaining days. And let us not lose hope about our weaknesses during the first day or the second day of these 10 days, because al-a'malu bi khawatimiha. Allah judges us based on our endings. And if our endings are strong, then glad tidings to you all. And alhamdulillah, the end has not come yet. So let us push forth diligently for the remaining days in these 10, so that we take maximum and wholesale from the manifest and abundant rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering upon His slaves during this season of worship. And indeed, this is a season of worship. Thus, increase your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget that amazing remembrance and dhikr that is specific to these days. The dhikr of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Recite it continuously. Allow your tongues to be moist with this dhikr. Allow your tongues to be moist with this dhikr. And proactively work towards keeping your tongue moist with this dhikr, keeping it far away from fruitless speech. And no benefit to us and our qualities in this life and the next. And increase in your salawat. And don't forget the amazing salat al-duha, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us is a salat that is filled with hundreds of sadaqat. Hundreds of sadaqat. Salat al-duha. Don't forget that salah. And don't forget that qiyam, that salah that is observed in the darkness of the night, in seclusion, during the last third of the night preferably, and all the other amazing acts of worship, such as the recitation of the Quran. Increase your recitation of the Quran. If you are able to complete an entire Quran during these 10 days, do it. And don't forget about the amazing act of worship, so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left the reward for it, an open ticket for a believer to enjoy on the day of Qiyamah. When they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have an open ticket of rewards. And that is siyam and fasting. Siyam and fasting. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the fast is for me, and I will reward it. Why? Because his slave, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yada' ta'amahu wa sharabahu wa shahwatahu li'ajli. He leaves his halal food and his halal drink and his halal relationship with his wife for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the prescribed period. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that dearly and has placed for it a dear reward. So don't forget. And if you can, 9 days, a 10th day is off, and the day of Eid. We do not fast on the day of Eid. If you cannot fast the 9th, Thursday is 9 days. Then make sure you fast the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. For the one who fasts the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him with 2 years of sins being forgiven. Allahu Akbar. 2 years of sins being forgiven. How merciful is Allah? And how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you fast one day, just one day. So little effort. But Allah rewards you with so much. Magnanimously, Allahu Akbar. Years of that are forgiven. So ensure that you endeavor proactively to fast at least the 9th. So this advice is pertinent for us to share, especially for me in this series, because I never managed to share it before in the previous 2 talks. And indeed, this is an advice to myself first and foremost before it is an advice to you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us diligent during these days. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that are forgiven during these days. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do not only worship Him during Ramadan and during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, but worship Him throughout the course of our lives. Worship Him with every breath that breathe. But use Ramadan and use the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah as a platform to launch ourselves to becoming even better worshippers. Because the Allah that we worship during Ramadan, Dhul Hijjah, is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is worshipped outside of these days. So remember that, my dear brothers and fathers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. With regards to our topic today, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His Khutul wal-insa illa liya'budun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing behind you being created that you were created for the worship of Allah, except that you were created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al Wahid al Qahhar, Al Ahad, Al Fard, Al Samad, Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. He goes on to say, Ma uridu minhum mirriz. Allah doesn't sustenance. Or sustenance. Ma uridu ayyub. Subhanahu wa ta'ala further goes on to say, Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul-quwwati al-matin. Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the provider of sustenance and the owner of absolute power. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Allah says, and all the ayat in the Quran are eloquent, that there's nothing that should be our prerogative except the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those who were present a couple of days ago when we were describing some of the instructions of the Sharia and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes instructs us in a way that really focuses on a particular aspect. Because you and I know that as human beings, we work and we educate ourselves and we get married and we have children and so on and so forth. There's other aspects that are involved in our lives. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that Allah created you to worship Him. Rather, He said, you are not created except to worship Him. Remember, we discussed the implications of these two statements. For those who are not present on that fine evening, I gave an example and I said, if Zakwan, come stand up for us. Let's use Zakwan today as an example. Come stand here. If I look at this young boy and in front of you all said that Zakwan is standing, by given the philosophy of language and linguistics, I can add to this particular statement. And I can say that he's standing and he's wearing a white thobe which is striped and he has a white hat on his head. MashaAllah, you like striped clothes, huh? Even the last time you had stripes on, huh? Yeah, mashaAllah. I can add to that statement. But if I told you there is nothing about Zakwan except that, does the concept of him standing has it become highlighted more than my previous statement? When I say there's nothing about him except that he's standing, do you by default focus on his white thobe and his white hat or whether he's wearing socks or not? No. When I say there's nothing about him except that he's standing, I have zoomed in onto one particular aspect that focus should be given to. That's it. Everything else is irrelevant. Barakallahu fikum ya Zakwan. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say you were created to worship Allah. He said there was nothing behind you creation except that you were created to worship Allah. Thus, the servants of Allah. How do we fit in lives? Because we were not focus is worship, not the peripherals or everything else that comes as a result of being alive in this world, from getting married, from having children, from studying and going to university and bettering our studies so we have job opportunities and so on and so forth. Food and shelter for over our families and so on and so forth. Yes, these things are there, but what is the focus behind us being created? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this in this particular ayah. So the question, my dear brothers and fathers, which must be lingering in your minds right now, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him, then why is marriage part and parcel of this life? And why is work part and parcel of this life? And why is education part and parcel of this life? And why should we even have a topic called fitting faith into our busy life? Shouldn't our life from start to end be only worship and only faith? And we wake up and sleep in the masjid? And why are these other aspects? A contradiction here that Allah has asked us or told us that the essence behind us as part and parcel contradiction. That question, my dear brothers and fathers, is no. There's no contradiction. If we feel there's a contradiction, then that contradiction is in our mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The contradiction is in our minds. And we need to study more and ponder more. And if Allah has mercy on us, that contradiction will dissolve. And it will become clear. And inshallah, the course of our discussion today will highlight, because also understand, my dear brothers and fathers, that our Sharia is from one perfect source. Can one perfect source contradict himself? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is nothing behind us being created to worship, is the one who sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us the importance of education. And that getting married is from his sunnah. And encourage us to have progeny and children, and so on and so forth. The same Allah who said that we've been created to worship Him is the same Allah who sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us the important aspects of these other things. So how do we fit the two entities together? We fit the two entities together, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, with something known as a niyyah, the intention. We correlate between our two understandings. We solve by understanding a niyyah, the intention. Let's discuss the intention in some detail. Our Sharia, O children of Adam, has an important intention. And the intention. I'm sure we all know what the niyyah is, alhamdulillah. This is something that our scholars teach us from the outset, because it's part and parcel of La ilaha illallah, that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Right? So our Sharia has gone to great lengths in teaching us about this niyyah. And our pious predecessors used to say that the niyyah to an action is like the soul to the body. When the soul is removed from the body is dead. And when the niyyah is removed from the action is dead. This is what they used to say about the niyyah, given their understanding of how Islam given due and instruction in the Quran and the Sunnah pertaining to it. Thus, they said these eloquent words of Adam, relationship with this niyyah. For this niyyah helps differentiate an action from being a norm to being an act of worship. I hope we're following. Remember we said, how do we correlate between worship? Our understanding of worship is salah and zakah and hajj and sadaqah and dhikr and recitation of the Quran. And then we have matters of the dunya, as a shallow understanding would inform us. Marriage, children, education, work, putting food on the table, as some people say. Right? You tell some people, why do you work hard? You say, someone has to put food on the table. Right? Someone has to put food on the table. So we want to join between these understandings in using the niyyah. And now we're discussing the dimensions of the niyyah. This highlights an act of worship or it's a norm. This is one of the dimensions. Another dimension is, it differentiates between the types of actual ibadah. Because we know, for example, we have salah, but there's the farad salah, there's the sunnah salah. We have fasting, there's the compulsory fast, and then the general voluntary. So your fast is wajib or farad, whether it's a fast of Ramadan, or whether it's a sunnah fast. The need has a role to play. And this is one of the dimensions. And this is one of the relationships that a Muslim has with this niyyah. Another relationship that we have with the niyyah, and another dimension that this niyyah has in our lives, is that this niyyah is a means of protecting our rewards from being lost. How? When we intend to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, but for some odd reason we didn't manage to. We intended to wake up for tahajjud, and for reasons beyond our control we didn't manage to. When we woke up, it was Fajr already. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man hamma bihasanatin falam ya'malha tuktab hasanatan kamilatan." That a person who sincerely intends to do an act of worship and didn't manage to do it, Allah writes for him the rewards as if he completed that act of worship. Subhanallah. It's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And really, I mentioned it to our brothers in Doha. And I'll mention it here, that perhaps we can have another series together dedicated to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because really, we haven't truly understood the implications of the names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Allah is Rahman, it goes beyond the remit of just being forgiven. This is from Him being Rahman, that He even gives us the rewards when we don't manage to act, but because we sincerely intended to. Subhanallah. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We need to really have a more intimate relationship with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will help us understand Him more and increase our iman and make us more diligent worshippers. And perhaps, inshallah, this can be a reason for me to visit your wonderful country and my wonderful brothers and fathers here, inshallah, again in the near future, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So how amazing this niyyah is. How amazing is it? And how it deserves to be discussed and deserves to be taught. And that is why from our pious predecessors were those who would say that we wish some of the fuqaha never wrote any books of fiqh, or taught fiqh, but dedicated their lives in only teaching the fiqh of the niyyah and teaching the niyyah. Books and books only about the niyyah. And lessons only about the niyyah, subhana rabbi al-a'la. And really this statement is not an extreme one. Somebody might say, but this is a bit extreme. But when we understand the placement of the niyyah in our sharia, we say, subhanallah, this statement is not an extreme one. It's an appropriate and apt one. And our fuqaha, rahmatullahi alayhim, they never lack diligence with regards to teaching us this lesson. And what I'm sharing with you is from them. And what you've heard from your scholars in this wonderful country is from what are left behind before they passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who leave behind diligent lessons for our children before we pass away. Ameen. Ameen. With regards to this niyyah, brothers and fathers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 30th juz,
وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ.
In Surah Al-Bayyinah, in the 5th ayah, is that they were commanded except. Remember what we discussed just now when we said there's nothing about zakwan except. Remember that focus we discussed? Similar style is used in this ayah. Similar style is used in this ayah, or the same style is used. An-nafi wal-istithna, for those who study the Arab language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were not commanded except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. Lahu ad-deen, and that diligence. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Allah made this niyyah, a sincere niyyah, lahu ad-deen, made it religion. Substantiate, I cited to you earlier from one of the pious predecessors before us, that if the fuqaha dedicated the entire life to own discussing niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this niyyah all of religion. And that is why when the scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, when they discussed the famous hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that is found in the Sahihain and is found in most al-a'malu bin niyyah. Think about your actions except, look at this style of instruction again. What we discussed just now, Quran's talk today. So when Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, nothing be judged based on their intentions. The fuqaha said that this hadith is one quarter of the religion. Allahu Akbar. This hadith is one quarter of the instructions of this religion. And some said even more. Some cited other fractions and other numbers. So what we need to, my intention behind all this is to highlight to you the importance of this niyyah. Because if we nail our understanding about the niyyah, then we will stop talking about fitting faith into our busy lives. Rather, we will start saying fitting our busy lives into faith. The opposite will be said. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. If we understand the implications of the niyyah and how to adopt ourselves with regards to our niyyah, we will solve our problems bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Right? So this niyyah is important. And yesterday I discussed with our brothers at the previous venue how Islam concentrates always on substance and not shallowness. On character and not personality. That Islam won't judge us based on the salah, the external salah that we read. It will judge us based on the intention present when that salah was observed. We, unfortunately, given the world that we live in, we've been conditioned to follow personalities. And we've been desensitized from the concept of character. If someone read salah, immediately we judge them. And yes, I mean, our job is to judge based on the apparent, because we don't know the hidden. We don't know the hidden. But even when it comes to, for example, getting testimony about a person, for example, who proposes to our daughter. Right? Sometimes we lack diligence with regards to truly understanding who they are. We judge them only, we are quick to judge them based on what we know of them and not who they really are. We don't take the extra measures to try and find out the character of the person. The character of the person. Right? The person behind what we see or who we see. And that's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he taught the ummah that knowing a person happens when you travel with them. Knowing a person happens when you stay with them. Knowing a person happens when you trade with them. Because when you trade with a person, his true character somewhere along the line is going to come out. What he's hiding is going to show. There might be a contingency in the deal, you'll see the character come out. When you live with somebody, they can't keep on putting that show, that character. When you spend a long time with them, somewhere along the line, some word is going to come out, some reaction is going to come out, which is from the character that is going to surface. And the reality of this person will be known. The reality of this person will be known. Right? So in a nutshell, the Sharia is always, or nurtures us, and sensitizes us towards character, towards being substantial and not shallow. And this is why, coming back to this niyyah again, many times a person asks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That salah puts an end to fahsha' and munkar, to that which is disliked and that which is immoral. Why is it that we see people who are constantly praying, they constantly pray, but they knee deep in riba? How is this possible? How is it possible? Allah said that what Allah dislikes. So how pray, but they are knee deep in that which Allah dislikes? Remember, we said there's no contradiction. There's no contradiction here. The issue is the niyyah. The issue is the character of the person. That it is possible, and we don't judge. That's why I'm saying it is possible, choosing my words appropriately. It shouldn't be that now we know someone who reads salah and they have bad character, so we go to them and say what I'm saying today. I'm saying it could be possible. Allah knows best. It could be possible that they are only worshipping Allah with their bodies, not with their niyat, not with their character, not with their heart and intentions. That the body is doing takbiratul ihram, not the heart. The body is observing the ruku', not the heart. The body is observing the sujood, not the heart. The body is observing the tashahud, not the heart. It was bodily worship of Allah and not soulful worship of Allah. You see? And we are not bodies alone. We are bodies and souls. And the Sharia, as we're discussing now in the remit of our discussion surrounding the niyyah, has clearly important is the soul. If the soul is not being fed, this is a possibility why a person can observe the salah but be knee deep in riba without feeling any regret, without feeling an urgency to get out of it. Some people, it's just they are victim of circumstance and they're trying their best to get out of it. May Allah bless them and forgive them and open a door for them. Ameen. And like this, many people ask that how is it that we fast the entire Ramadan? The whole of Ramadan, we fast. And on the day of Eid, Ramadan we were fasting, at night we were in Salah, we were reading Quran. On the day of Eid, the Muslims are celebrating Eid in a way totally contradictory to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They drive their cars with loud music, affecting the neighbors, affecting the neighborhood, for example. Right? And they disturb society. That sometimes the non-Muslims have to leave their homes and cities on the day of Eid, at night. The harms that some of those quote-unquote Eid are causing in those societies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So the question is, how? How can someone fast Ramadan, stand up at night in Salah, and on the first day, drown in haram? How is this possible? And the answer to that question is the same. That the month of Ramadan was spent without niyyah, without character, the heart wasn't present. The body fasted, but the soul didn't. Allahu Akbar. I mean, understand this, my dear brothers and fathers, that from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that to feed the soul, the body has to starve. Subhanallah. Imagine that when the body is starving, the soul is being fed. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Because this soul has an attachment to the hereafter. It's this body that's housing it and keeping it where? In this dunya. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we detach ourselves from this dunya, the more we become closer to the akhirah. And the less we are attached to the akhirah, the closer we are to the dunya. This is how it works. This is how it works. Have you not seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those before us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those Allah says in His book, Allah says,
وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those before us, that they became victims of time, meaning they became attached to the dunya. And when that happened, their hearts became hard. Why? This is what the scholars have derived from this ayah. That when dunya, the heart became wide attached from the akhirah. To soften it, you have to attach it to the akhirah. And to do that, you have to do the dunya. By you an act of worship. Ibadah. Again today, in faith, our busy lives. This is what it's about, O servants of Allah. This is what it's about. Having the correct paradigm in the life that you live. Because Muslims don't live till the grave. They live for beyond the grave. And this is a fact. Because to be a Muslim, you believe in the hereafter. And the hereafter begins with death. The hereafter begins with death. So Allah tells us that they were those, they became a victim of time. They became part and parcel of this dunya. To such an extent that they lived for this dunya. That busy life. That monotonous life. Right? They lived for the dunya. So the hearts became hard. Why? It was detached from the akhirah. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. What was the result of it? The majority of them were sinners. This is how, O servants of Allah, may all. We can fast the month of Ramadan and then what? Sin on the day of Eid, the day after. When the heart is not fasting. When it's a bodily effort. May Allah protect us all. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in Surah Al-Baqarah. These people who became victim of time. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah says then their hearts became hardened. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. And it became like a rock. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us effectively that you know what? Even a rock has benefit. What is worse? What is more harder than a rock, my dear brothers and fathers? Do you know what's harder than a rock? A hard heart. Allah says, the heart is أشد in fact than a rock. Why? وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ. Allah then describes to us the different types of rocks that we have. There's some rocks that split and water comes out from it. And there's some rocks that split and streams flow through it. Is that not a beneficial rock? That's a beneficial rock. Allah's telling us that there's nothing worse than a hard heart. Because even a hard rock has benefit. And Allah says some rocks fall down. يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. They fall down out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Some rocks do this. So, if we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our bodies and not our hearts, then this is a dangerous situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And that is why when we look at those before us, O servants of Allah and O children, they used to fuss over their intentions. Fuss over it. I'm not talking about just the lay people of before. I'm talking about the ulama, the giants that walked this earth before us. Those giants who we are only trying to walk on this. Subhanallah. That is who they were. They used to fuss over intentions and learn about intentions and remind each other about intentions and revise their knowledge about the intentions. And that is why Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, He said, we must fix our intentions. We must fix our intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Ameen. So this is how it should be. This is how it should be. It should be about fitting our busy life into our faith. Not our faith into our busy life. For we were not created except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I talk about fixing it, I'm not saying that it is for example, when we say die as a Muslim, when we say die as a Muslim, dying as a Muslim is in whose hands? The hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what are we saying? What does the Sharia mean when it says die as a Muslim? What did Yaqub alayhi salam mean when he told his children, Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen, fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. What did he mean? He said, Allah has chosen for you Islam as your religion, thus ensure that you don't die except upon Islam. What did he mean by this? When we know that dying upon Islam is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he meant do everything in your capacity. In your capacity to die. Everything in your capacity to ensure that your day from beginning to end of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try your best. Fix your intentions. Put your trust in Allah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have an acute awareness regarding your intentions at every stage of your life. Don't be a person who roams the world without substance like the disbelievers do. If we behave like them, then what offering do we have as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in? Allah placed us in to be those who take from Allah and give to the people. What will we be giving to the people if we live our lives aimlessly like those who have disbelieved? Right? How many of us have an acute attention in the day of what we're doing? I'm talking about an acute attention based on what we've discussed. When they're in their car going to work, when they're at work, when you're studying, when you're revising for your exams, when you're getting married. Is that acute intention there, or an acute awareness regarding your intention present? Is that there regarding why you're doing it? Right? Regarding why you're doing it. And to make this clear, I'm going to share with you some examples. We spoke about work, marriage, education, and so on and so forth. How do we make these an act of worship? How does going to the gym, for example, become an ibadah? Imagine somebody says, going to the gym, are you serious? Or as we say in colloquial English, are you kidding me? Going to the gym can be ibadah? Why not? Why not? Why not? Have you not heard the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, as is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ said, no one will enter paradise who has an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart. So a man stood up and said, O Prophet of Allah, what if a man likes his garments to look nice, his shoes to look nice? Is this going to affect him getting to Jannah? Is this from being arrogant? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Arrogance is rejecting the truth and looking down on people. Right? As is in Sahih Muslim. Have you not heard this hadith? Or did you just hear it and say, MashaAllah, nice hadith? What about the hadith? That subhanAllah, this hadith is teaching us that having good shoes and wearing nice clothes is an ibadah. It's from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. But when the intention is right. You see, fitting faith into a busy life. We're busy shopping. How do we make shopping ibadah? How do we make it a faithful task? This is how you do it, through the right intention. Have you not heard the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, wa fi budu'i ahadikum sadaqah? That in marital relations with your spouses is a sadaqah. Did you not hear that hadith? It's a sadaqah. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, in shock, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ? That a person relieves his desires and in this there is reward? Ya Rasulullah, remember I said earlier, are you kidding me? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ. Azr, this is known as qiyas aks, the opposite analogy. For those who are studying usulul fiqh, right? The scholars use this hadith as evidence to substantiate qiyas al-aqs. In any case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that what is your view about a person who relieves his desires in the haram way? Is he worthy of sin? So they said yes. So he said, in the same way that person is worthy of sin, if they did it in the halal way, it's worthy of rewards. Have we not heard these ahadith, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam? We have. Thus, yes, going to the gym can be ibadah. Building that six pack can also be an act of ibadah. There's a lot of work to be done for six packs here, isn't it? Getting married is an ibadah. Going to school is an ibadah. Somebody would say, but going to school, I hate going to school. Well, if you made it an ibadah, you'll stop hate going to school. Imagine our parents wake up in the morning and with our sleepy eyes we say, yes. They say, come on, let's go worship Allah. Instead of saying, get ready for school. How would you feel? Would you say, turn around the other way, blanket, no blankets here, blankets, hot anyway. Huh? Or we use a sheet maybe, cover ourselves with the sheet and say, give me an hour. Wake me up in an hour. I still need an hour. Would you say that? Somebody told you, let's go build Jannah. When we say ibadah, what are we saying? When we worship Allah, we're building Jannah. When we worship Allah, we're making our scale of good deeds heavy on the day of Qiyamah. If somebody woke you up in the morning for school and said, come on, go build your Jannah, would you not wake up very fast? Would school be hated to you? No, because now it's changed. You have made your life the worship of Allah. You have made your life the construction of your Jannah. You have made your life making your scales of good deeds heavy on the day of Qiyamah. لا إله إلا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. Indeed, Allah is most deserving of all praise for guiding us to Islam. Wallahi, only Muslims can enjoy this. How do I make going to the gym an act of worship? By making it for the sake of Allah. Do it for the sake of Allah. I intend to do it so I am more diligent in my ibadah. And I can be healthy as per the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following the sunnah. Today we ask people, why are you going to gym? Oh, I need to lose a few pounds. Why are you going to gym? Oh, subhanallah, my results came from the hospital. The cholesterol was off the charts. The doctor said, I can't believe you standing here right now. No, brother. And no, my dear father. Have a more substantial reason for going. That which surpasses the grave. Remember we said, we don't live till the grave, but beyond the grave. If you're going for the cholesterol, you're not rewarded. The benefit is still the grave, and you will have nothing in the hereafter for that act. Remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of hijrah, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبْ رَأَتَ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That a person who went from Makkah to Medina for Allah and His Rasul, he will get the rewards of the Hijrah. But the person who did it with the Muslims, but with the intention of marrying someone in Medina, or for some business deal, yes, they would have done the journey. But that journey is void of rewards. That journey was only to help them till the grave, not beyond. Thus live for beyond the grave, not till the grave. If you go to the gym for fitness, it's only benefit till the grave. You haven't benefited yourself beyond the grave. Allah has given you an amazing potential. As a Muslim, you have an amazing potential. Why are you not using that potential? If I'm going to work to put food on my table, that's only benefit till the grave. But if your intention is, Ya Allah, I'm going to work to earn halal sustenance to feed my family, which is a sadaqah. And I can spend in your path, Ya Allah. Now, going to work doesn't become boring every Monday. You ask somebody on a Sunday, what's the best day of the week? You say Friday. You say Friday, mashallah, the day of Jumu'ah. Yeah, that also, but I was intending something else. What were you intending? Because the next day is Saturday. Hey, what's the worst day of the week? Sunday. But Sunday is a holiday. Yeah, but the next day is Monday. Right? If you go to work for the right reasons, you will want to work every day of your life. And you will be a person who works with ihsan. Because you're not working for the dunya, you're working for the akhirah. You're working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prizes that Allah has set for the one who lives for Allah and dies for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us the understanding. How does going to school become an act of worship? Well, it's not an act of worship if I'm going for the certificate. So I can get a job, go to the city, I'm a doctor. Yes, this is part and parcel, it will come. It's a sunnah of Allah that when you do this, something else happens. Reaction. But what's the reality? You, O servant of Allah, and you, O child of Adam, why are you doing it? No, I'm going to school to be a person that brings izzah to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I am intending to be the best doctor. That doctor that every Muslim and non-Muslim is fighting for. That doctor that every intern from the Muslims and the non-Muslims wants to come study with so that they can qualify as a doctor. So that the ummah, when they are the best, they see Muslim names on the list of those who are the best. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To going to school. Has it become boring? And homework is boring. You'll be the one telling the teacher, give me more homework. You'll be the one telling the teacher, can we come to school on Saturday? You'll be the one telling the teacher, let's have extra lessons. Why? Because when everyone's coming to school for school, you coming to school for Jannah. Amazing. Amazing. If Jannah is the prize, I mean, who? If I told you, Akhil Kareem, my dear brother, you know what? I want you to do this task and the prize for it is Jannah. Would you say, let me think about it? Honestly. Would you say, let me think about it? Would you? Again, in plain, pure English. Would you? No. You wouldn't. And if I told you, if you did this act, if you did this act, it will have no benefit for you in the hereafter. In fact, it might be a means of your Jahannam. Would you continue with it? Would you? No. Thus, let's fix ourselves, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam. Our pious predecessors before us, as I said, they used to fuss over this niyyah. Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayh, he used to say regarding what we're discussing today, our topic. See, our topic was discussed by the pious predecessors before us, really. Really, if you just read the correct books, you will see that they discussed it, mashallah. And may Allah bless those who arranged this particular tour and included this particular topic. How Allah inspired them, I need to ask them. What was the inspiration behind this particular topic? But it was discussed. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, It is my happiness that I have an intention in everything that I do. So that my eating, my sleeping, and everything becomes an act of worship. Because this is how the best of people were nurtured. This is how Rasulullah alayhi wasallam taught the Sahaba and nurtured the Sahaba. So he has an intention in his eating. Why am I eating? I'm eating because you know what? This food tastes nice. You know that those meals from Dine More? Superb. MashaAllah, my lunch was from there. So I'm digesting it. So my mind, that's the first word that came. I was actually telling the brothers that Dine More should say Dine More the Dynamo. MashaAllah. May Allah bless our Muslim brothers and families' businesses. All our Muslim brothers' families' businesses and grant barakah to them. Ameen. Right? So, why am I eating? Because it's tasty. No. So the pious predecessors before us, like Sufyan al-Thawri, would say, I would love for my eating to have a niyyah. Which makes my life in this world a life that with every tap that I do on the face of this earth, there's ripples in the hereafter. Imagine living your life this way. You take a step in the dunya and something moves in the hereafter. You breathe in the dunya and something moves in the hereafter. Right? Right? Imagine that. Right? Imagine, do you know what I mean? Like if you have a river and some big explosion happens somewhere far away, will you not see ripples happen in the water? It's been affected by the impact of that explosion that happened somewhere else. Imagine living your life in this world. Living your life in this world. Where whatever you do causes ripples to happen in Jannah. Imagine that. This is what Sufyan al-Thawri is saying. I would love to live my life this way. That I have a niyyah for everything that I do. Driving my car. People complain about traffic in Sri Lanka, and I agree. But imagine if your whole work process or going to school process was the worship of Allah. You would love being stuck in traffic. Imagine how your whole paradigms change. Wallahi, when a Muslim achieves their potential in terms of living their life the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to live our lives, imagine how happy our lives become. Things which people see as obstacles, we see as opportunity. Our paradigm shift. We cancel the O of obstacle and we bring in the O of opportunity. Somebody says, I'm stuck in traffic. Say, Ya Akhil Kareem, Alhamdulillah. That means the longer you're in traffic, imagine how many more rewards you're getting in the hereafter. Imagine how many trees are being built for you in Jannah. Imagine how many streams are being constructed. Because we never got in our car except for the sake of Allah. But if you got in your car for the sake of this dunya, then woe to you. For being stuck in traffic is definitely worthy of your depression. May Allah protect us all. Imam al-Shafi rahmatullahi alayh, in looking after intentions, would say, I wished. We know Imam al-Shafi wrote books, and Imam al-Shafi taught, and if Shafi was an imam, a great scholar, Imam al-Shafi wishes that the world learned his ilm without having attributed it to him. Wallahi, when we read these things, our hair should stand. Honestly, this is who they were. This is who they were. He wished, he goes, I wish this ilm could be taught without being attributed to me. That's how they feared. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Ameen. They never lived their life and the fame of this world. They never lived their lives till the grave. They never lived their lives as if they were never going to die. They never lived their lives only for this world. They lived it for the akhirah. Thus they were humble people in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah ta'ala. And they were people who fitted their lives in their faith. And never needed to ever ask, how do we fit faith into our busy lives? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in his book, in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that akhirah, that dar, the abode of the hereafter, that dar has been given to those who lived their lives in this world without wanting name and fame and the masses of this world. They lived in this world for the hereafter. So that hereafter was given to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that are diligent with the words that we've said today. Those who walk in the footsteps of the great giants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to walk this earth before us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us work for the sake of Allah. And may Allah make us for the sake of Allah. Make us look after our families for the sake of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us look after our health for the sake of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even make the preparation of our families' meals for the sake of Allah. May Allah make us those who live for Him and die for Him. Thus people who fit lives into faith. Thus people who fit their who fit their busy lives into faith and never ever talk about fitting faith into their busy lives. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being those who are rewarded in this dunya for the work that they did because they only lived in this dunya. Wallahi, my dear brothers, my dear fathers, Allah is just. Allah is just. Allah will always reward us. He will reward us for the good that we do. But if our intention is for this dunya, if our intention is for this dunya, Allah will give us in this dunya. And when we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll get nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. Allah says, whoever wants this dunya, whoever wants this dunya, they want to fit their faith into their busy lives and not the opposite. They want to live for this dunya, they want to die for this dunya. Whoever wants this type of life, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, We will give them the rewards of their actions, their good deeds in this dunya. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ And they will not be shortchanged. They will not be shortchanged. But Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ For those people, they will have nothing in terms of the hereafter except the hellfire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book,
وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who live for this dunya, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ We have advanced them the rewards of the good that they used to do. So when they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they thought they were going to find amazing deeds. They thought they were going to find an amazing Jannah waiting for them. But they were shocked to see that nothing waited for them in the hereafter except scattered dust. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and make us people diligent. Make us people diligent. And once again, may Allah make us those who live for Him and die for Him. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the understanding and that my few words were relevant in terms of making the topic understood. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Ameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, jazakumullahu khairan for your attentiveness and for honoring me with your attendance. And may Allah bless Masjid Zainab and its trustees really for their invite and doing everything in making sure that my presence here with you today was a reality that we could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Wallahi, I love to see the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different places. And sometimes I love to go to Mecca just to see the ummah from different countries together. And at times Allah blesses me with the opportunity to travel to them and see them in their homelands. May Allah gather us in this dunya many a time. Before the Akhirah. And may Allah gather us underneath His Arsh on the day of Qiyamah after we pass away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the higher Jannah where we can sit together and discuss the talk we had in the dunya one fine evening that inshallah was a means of us doing those acts that got us to Jannah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب.
For more lectures, visit SLH.